It's time to step into the Coming Out Lounge, a cool, safe space to be true to your sexual self, with your host, Rick Clemens. Rick has helped hundreds of people come out of the closet, and now each week he's bringing you cool insights for loving and accepting yourself, boosting your self-confidence, and living a guilt-free, purpose-filled life on the other side of the closet doors. Cuddle up with yourself and get ready for heartwarming coming out stories, ideas for living authentically, and tips for being fully self-expressed. Now here's your host, Coming Out Coach Rick.
Hello, Closet Busters. It's time once again to stop the closet dwelling and to step out, step up, and step into living your truth. And today we're going to do a little bit of truth diving. Actually, we're going to dive right into a little cocktail of adventure, spirituality, and sexuality. And we're hoping by the time you have that little cocktail, drink it up, mix it up, you're going to land in a solid relationship. Now, why am I talking about this today? Well, I think, man, in today's world of, you know, being an LGBTQ person, and whatever the rest of the alphabet is, we keep adding on to it. It seems that sex is becoming, you know, far more than just a physical thing. Sex and sexuality and being in relationships, it's not just about getting a release, getting off, or making babies. It's becoming a spiritual thing too. And now that we can actually get married in this country, in the U.S. as gays and lesbians, there's a whole lot more of this conversation starting to happen around those little cocktail tables that we seem to go sit at and chit-chat with our friends. And what I've discovered is it's a really great adventure that we get to go on where we rediscover ourselves, we get to discover our partners, and we really get to dive into our relationships. Now, it's not just going to be Rick spouting off today. I brought two really cool doctors in. Their name are Rob and Janelle Alex. They're going to help me and help you discover some ways to really merge our sexuality with our spirituality. I know that sounds kind of weird, doesn't it? But it does happen. And actually, when you can do this, you're really going to enjoy being with yourself, being with your partner, and being in your relationship. So without further ado, let's go ahead and bring Rob and Janelle to the microphone. Hello, you two. How you doing?
Hello.
We are doing great, Rick.
I know you are. You guys are like a ball of fire. I was so excited. So let's kind of give some background here. We're all together in a beautiful group called Podcasters Paradise, where we go and we share tips and we talk about each other's shows. And when I ran into you guys, I was like, okay, I've got to get these two on. I know they're not gay or lesbian. They're married. They have a great relationship and they help people figure this stuff out. And that's why I wanted you to come on, because I think you guys can really help my listeners start to, do this different little dance that we're doing now. So, okay, I'm going to shut up. You guys just tell them what to do, and we'll go from there.
but I want to say that for us, I mean, yeah, we're, you know, a heterosexual couple. That is true. But for us, because we get asked so often, what do we constitute a couple? To us, it's about people that love each other. Mm-hmm. To have a relationship, it's just about two people, or if you're outside of the two people, you know, dynamic and you have something else, but it's just about two people who love each other. And that is all that should matter. We are so adamant about that. So we're actually very excited to be on your show today.
Yeah, awesome. I mirror that statement exactly. And I wanted to jump in and discuss something you said right from the start. But spirituality and our sexuality is an ancient tradition. It's not something that's new. It's mm-hmm. not something that's new wave, mm-hmm. and it's just came about. Many ancient traditions back to Egypt and, you know, Native American Indians used these practices of combining their spirituality and their sexuality. And then somewhere along the line, we've lost it. So it's more of a going back mm-hmm. than coming up with something new here.
Well, no, I agree with you. And, you know, I know in my world as a gay man and gay and lesbian stuff that I deal with, and transgender to some degree. But mm-hmm. one of the things that's very ancient is the two spirits conversation.
Yes.
That's very prevalent in the Native American culture. And I just feel like, you know, man, we've got so many things out there on the spectrum of sexuality that it's time to really start having even deeper conversations about this sort of stuff, because mm-hmm. it enhances the relationship. It enhances you as an individual. It may help you actually make better decisions as you go into relationships. So,
yes.
So as you guys work with couples, and I know you work with them all over the world, what is one of the biggest stumbling blocks? And I already know one answer, but what is one of the biggest stumbling blocks that couple have in really bringing themselves fully into a relationship?
Well, in regards to their sex lives anyway, one of the big problems is that they think they're not normal. They think, oh my God, you want to do what? You're a freak. Nobody does that.
Right.
So they think that there's this normal way of doing things. And we are just like, really? No, there's not. Because what you think is normal is not what probably everybody else is really doing. So it's about being able to have that conversation, which is another stumbling block that goes right along with that.
Yeah.
That so many couples don't even talk about sex.
Yeah.
They just don't.
I mean,
to each other.
Yeah. Each relationship's like a fingerprint. It is unique. It is beautiful. It is its own. And people get so caught up in trying to fit into a mold of a relationship. And it's just silly. You know, whatever works for the two people or the three people or however many people are in this relationship, that's beautiful because it works for you and you're not. And, you know, and that's where the real heart comes into it, because we're not trying to be like the Joneses or somebody else.
Yeah.
We're being who we are. We're being true to ourselves.
And I have to say, just as a disclaimer for Rob and I, that we are monogamous with each other and only with each other. So we are about two people in a relationship, because if you do have the interest in the other, it's a whole different dynamic and there's a lot of other things that come
right.
into play. So our expertise really does focus on the two-person relationship.
Yep.
But we always like everybody to know that we would never discount or say that a different type of relationship's not okay for them. So,
but I think what you just brought up is really important, because we are now at a juncture, and again, I'm going to put it in the frame of the U.S. right now, where gays and lesbians are able to step into married life.
Mm-hmm.
What I find so fascinating is, as many of them are doing this, it's bringing up, obviously, lots of interesting conversations about what does marriage mean to them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also bringing up, okay, so how do I now do this if this wasn't really part of what I thought I'd ever do? How do I step into this? Am I ready to be in a monogamous relationship? Am mm-hmm. I ready to be devoted? And this isn't because of all the stereotypes that you hear, mostly about gay men, as we're just promiscuous and we're just whores and we just like, you know, we just like to, you know, screw like rabbits. But that's not necessarily true. And I find it very prevalent that there's actually more people who really want the monogamy thing than don't.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Yet, there's a lot of people who criticize those that still want the marriage piece, and they want to say, we're monogamous in our love for one another, but we're not monogamous in our sexual life with mm-hmm. one another.
Which, you know, there's a lot of heterosexual couples that do that as well.
Absolutely.
So, you know, but as far as that stereotype, I instantly think of my nephew, and he has been with his partner for, I don't even know how many years. I don't remember. I think, Rob, almost as long as you and I have been together. So like 14, 15, I don't know. I'd have to go look and mm-hmm. or ask him or something, because I don't remember. But and he was so freaking excited, and I was so excited for him. And he lives in Indiana, but when he was able to marry his partner here, you know, those few months ago or whatever.
Yep.
And it is such an exciting piece. So, I mean, and they, like I said, they've been together for a very long time. So, you know, for them, it was like, yes, you know, but I mean, outside of the lesbian and gay community, there are a lot of people nowadays that are like, I don't know if I actually want to get this piece of paper signed between us and make it legally binding.
Right.
So I think that probably, I would assume that it spans both, you know, all kind of relationships.
Well,
there.
There's so many ways to look at that than that marriage piece, because if you look at the roots and the ownership, you know, that went along mm-hmm. with marriage, and then nowadays, you know, there's benefits financially and on taxes to being married and things like that.
Right.
You know, that those things shouldn't even be in the picture, and
right.
yet that's so prevalent in our society, because, you know, that's the way we've been brought up. That's what we've been, you know, we've learned. And, you know, our government fosters that by, hey, if you're married, you get a break on your taxes.
Right.
Insurance
like that.
And all that stuff, right.
Well, and I think that's one of the bigger pieces. So my husband and I didn't get married. We're literally coming up on our 1 year anniversary here on New Year's Eve.
Awesome.
And, but we've been together for 14 years
mm-hmm.
and we consciously kept asking ourselves, what is it, the reason that we are going to get married? It wasn't that we didn't love each other. It wasn't that we didn't care about each other. I mean, my God, he's been in my life since my kids were 18 months and 4 years old. So mm-hmm. he's been a part of the family dynamic for the greater part of raising the children.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, it came down to, is this the legal thing that we want to do that protects us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It wasn't about I love you and I want the white doves and all that. It wasn't any of that. It wasn't I'm going to walk down the aisle and, you know, and none of this. I mean, we had a very simple wedding at the courthouse. We had a few people witness it. That was about it. And then we had a big celebration. So I think this is where things get mixed up a lot, is what does marriage mean to you? And it's okay for you to ask that question of yourself and of your partner. What does this mean to you? Because I think it puts everything in a different context. And I'm wondering how you guys see that.
Well, yeah, I agree, because it's, and I say this so often, but it's about expectations. First of all, you have to know who you are. And for anyone, and I can only assume, because I've not experienced this myself, of course, but for anyone that has to face the cultural backlash, if you will, that we still have, unfortunately, in this country, when you mm-hmm. finally come out,
yeah.
right? Or you go, oh, wait, oh, I'm not normal, God forbid, whatever. See, again, I think that's ridiculous, but that experience. So you have to know who you are, whatever, just your whole overall person, who you are. Because when you know your own self, and then you can understand what your expectations are of others as well, then you can enter into a better relationship, and you have that opportunity to communicate. Because if you don't know what you expect of your partner, well, you're just kind of flying blind. I mean, in all areas of your relationship, from the romantic part to the business side of our relationships, because we all have that too,
yep.
you know, the household and all that, and kids and so forth, to parenting, if you have children together, or if you want to have children together, to your sex life and more, you're right. So that's a big important piece.
Well, and then there's also that religious aspect. And, you know, so many religions, you know, say you have to be married, you know, mm-hmm. to be in a relationship and to have sex and things like that. And that really weighs on some people, whether we believe it or not. I mean, we don't subscribe to any particular religious belief.
No, we're those people that are like, we're spiritual,
but
not religious.
For somebody that grew up and they've learned all, you know, they're very powerful in their religion and their spirituality.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then to be like, oh my gosh, you know, just until recently, they can't, you know, even be married to their lover, you know, mm-hmm. in that sense. And so what a dynamic that's going on in their head if they're, you know, really devout in their religion. And then they're saying, but yet I can't fulfill everything because the legal system won't let me.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it is a big stumbling block. I mean, I've had numerous conversations with people and on this podcast around the whole spiritual religious thing and how it fits. And in fact, I'm working with a client right now who's potentially going to do a podcast soon around the whole Mormon church and their ruling on, you know, how you can be baptized in the church, you can be a member, but you can, if your parents are same sex, I mean, it's just a whole controversy.
Mm-hmm.
And so now there's a whole nother, you know, he has a whole nother realm to step into because he has four kids.
Mm-hmm.
And three out of the four have been brought into the Mormon belief system. The other one is just under the age where they can bring him through. And now here's this ruling. Now there's mm-hmm. been some new stuff that's happened that's kind of bending the rules to make it work. But so you said something, Janelle, that I love because I'm spiritual, not religious too. But it begs the question, because when we were talking about doing the show together, we talked about really what's the spirituality in a relationship. Mm-hmm. And I'm not just meaning the religious stuff. I think there's a deepened spiritual mm-hmm. peace to each of us
mm-hmm.
That we bring into our relationship. So let's talk a little bit about spirituality and sex. I mean, to me, they kind of go hand in hand, but I love your perspective on it.
Yeah. Oh, I think we're adamant about that. It's like there's no separation between the
two. Now, you notice I said Janelle, so that means, Rob, you can't say a word, of course, right?
Okay.
I'm just kidding. No. I want to hear both of you weigh in on this.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll probably get that pretty easily anyways because we work pretty well in tandem. But, you know, oh my gosh. When you have an amazing sexual experience with someone that you love, and mind you, you can have spiritual experiences during sex or transcendent experiences during sex, even when it's not necessarily somebody you love, that's almost a whole different piece to this conversation. But
yep.
Because, you know, practicing sex magic, even if you look at the Druids and so forth from way back, they believed love shouldn't be involved. It's a whole different conversation. But when you bring in the love piece and you experience this amazing sexual experience with your lover. And it, and when we say sex, we're not talking about the fact that you have to reach climax even, okay? So right. when we say making love, it's about just pleasuring one another, enjoying a sensual experience together. It does not have to get to climax or orgasm, which I believe are two different things. Mm-hmm. And I think Rob agrees with that. Yes. So it's about having that peace and making love to each other, because that in of itself on the most basic level is a spiritual experience, because you are just, you know, in joining into that space even. And so we all have, let me put it this way, we all have individual energies, right? I mean, yep. We have this, I'm me, and I have my big powerful energy, and Rob, because we both kind of are big energy people, but, you know, and Rob's got a very powerful essence as well. When we come together, we merge those energies. We call that the blended spirit. Now that happens with your lover, but think about it. Anytime you, and especially in this country, we have our space. Don't let somebody step too closely into
right.
it. You've just mixed up your energies. And sometimes you don't want to do that. So, you know, or you can feel when somebody comes up behind you or into a room or something, you can feel them and you go, oh wait, I know someone's here, right? It's because you sense their energy. So when we're making love, we're bringing those energies together. And I believe that's very metaphysical, and it's very much so a spiritual experience at the very least.
Yeah. Well, and with, you know, from my standpoint, you know, I hear all the talk about energy can't be created and it's, you can't destroy it, blah, blah, blah. And I don't subscribe to that, because I think lovemaking is what creates energy. It just creates our universe. It's create, you know, it creates flowers. It creates mm-hmm. trees. It creates life in our world. You know, when we make love, we have the possibility, you know, obviously if we have the right parts, let me say that, right. that there can be a child born from that. And that's creating a whole nother universe. That being now has a universe to grow up in. And so this energy is always there, whether it creates a life or not. And we have that power to direct that energy. We have the power to ask that energy to go do amazing things for us. We often jokingly call it the sexual law of attraction, because we can manifest things with this powerful energy that we are creating through our love for each other and through this physical act of pleasure that we're enjoying at that time too.
You know, you better go trademark that sexual law of attraction. Now, I agree with you. And, you know, it's interesting, Rob, when you said, you know, if you have the right parts, but one of the most fascinating things in my work, and as I go and speak on different stages at colleges and universities and participate in human sexuality and psychology courses and all that sort of stuff, is this interesting piece of how people can't process, okay, what would happen if the world really embraced homosexuality?
Yes.
You know, because everybody starts to go, well, then there wouldn't be any, you know, any future generations. I'm like, no. That's not true, because one of the things that touched me the most recently was a girl came up to me after I spoke, it was probably about a month ago. And she said, I just wanted to say, wow, I just loved hearing your story and how committed you are to making this world a better place by making it okay to come out late in life, yada, yada, yada. And I said, thank you. And she goes, I have to tell you something. I said, okay. And she said, my dad's decided to have me mm-hmm. when it was completely unacceptable
yeah.
to be gay.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, this is a college kid. So you know yeah. that her dad's made a very, very big conscious decision at a time in the country when being gay wasn't even acceptable.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
And,
well, and Rick, I want to say with that, because, you know, I know Rob said it that way, that's true, but we all make a, you know,
said that. Well, no, I'm glad he said it, because I wanted to be able to share that story. I think it was
yeah.
beautiful. So, you know, Janelle, Rob and I already talked before we got on. I told him to say, okay, you're going to say this then, and I'm going to say this then, and then Janelle's going to defend it, and we'll have a great, yeah, yeah.
Well, what I wanted to say with that is, though, because I have a good friend back in Indiana, because, you know, Rob and I grew up in a small town, oh my God, in Indiana, that was about 2 hours from the Bible Belt. So you talk about rigidly Christian,
yeah. Woo,
you know. So that community, my good friend that lived there, actually, she was my chiropractor for a long time. And I actually taught her daughter dance, because I taught dance for many, many years. So we had a really good relationship. And then she got divorced. And then she finally, because of this community, they were like, oh, you can't, you know, like, you know, don't say anything, right? That would be not okay if you're not heterosexual. And so finally, she told me in her office one day and showed me her picture of her. And back then, you couldn't get married to, you know, the same sex. But and I was like, wow, this is awesome. And I was so excited for her and the relief that she seemed to display, you know, like, oh, my God, Janelle's okay with it. It's, you know, because she did. She lost business and all kinds of terrible things. Yep. But then they were able to have a little girl, and their little girl together was born just a few months after our youngest son was born. And so it was so exciting. And then Rob, our niece, your niece, technically, she had care because she has three or four daughters of her own now with her husband. But in the middle of all of those little girls, she carried a set of twins for a gay couple out of France. Wow. And because that's been a few years ago now that she carried them. So now, of course, those babies are overseas.
Well, and it all goes back to that sexual law of attraction, because you can manifest this child into your life, mm-hmm. no matter what the situation. I mean, we can manifest great wealth. We can manifest a child. Mm-hmm. The Wiccans have a tradition or a thought process that is called, you know, whenever you make love, you create a magical child. Now, sometimes that's a physical child. Sometimes that metaphysical, you know, it might be an idea that pops mm-hmm. into your head. It might be, you know, the next great invention, whatever. But there's something created when that sexual mm-hmm. energy bursts through the seams there.
So Rob just gave all the gay men in the world every right to just keep going and like doing what they're doing, because somehow they're going to manifest everything they need in life out of sex. And that's going to be so cool for them. They're going to be right on your train there, buddy. So I love what you just said. No, it's beautiful. Because I think
we agree with what you just said. We're like, yes, keep doing it. I mean,
absolutely.
Sex is often as you can. I mean, yes, we want you to love your partner, but you know, but yeah, lots and lots and lots of lovemaking is so powerful.
Well, and I was just about ready to ask you the question. So what can somebody do who wants to spice up their relationship? I think you kind of answered it with what you just said to some degree. It's,
well,
you got to keep doing the intimacy stuff. And it doesn't mean it's always about screwing. I mean, let's be honest. And I loved earlier when you said, you know, the intimacy can be just touching and getting each other lit up and things such as that. And I think sometimes we miss this as mm-hmm. sexual beings. We miss the piece that it can all be about the foreplay and nothing else happens. In fact, I don't know if you guys have ever heard my podcast where I talk about what happened to me coming out, but I was in London, and for the listeners have heard this probably more times than they want to hear, but I'll say it again. So I was in London. I met a guy in a bar. One of the first times, it was the first time I ever went in a gay bar by myself. And lovely Brit, great guy. We had a wonderful evening just bar hopping and talking and just really connecting. And then, of course, the typical happened. You want to go back to my hotel room. Mm-hmm. And I went back to the hotel with him. And that was the night. And in my speeches, it's always this big dramatic thing when I say it was the night that there was no sex, I fell in love and I fell apart, because it was so intimate and it was so much different than what I was used to, which was hiding and, you know, hooking up and all this. This was a complete evening and night spent with a guy that I connected with. Mm-hmm. And there was no quote unquote sex as you would define it. There was there touching and kissing. Yes, that sort of stuff was happening, but it was because we didn't go to that space. I believe that's the reason I finally had the balls to come out of the closet. It's like, okay, I finally see that I can actually be more than let's just hook up with a guy. There was more there. And I think this is something that a lot of times we as couples, or however you define couples, we miss.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a huge piece. And it's something that when you have that kind of a bond, then guess what? Then you have the ability to laugh and giggle in the bedroom. You have the ability to laugh and giggle wherever you are. You can be best friends mm-hmm. then and have that, as one of our colleagues and friends say, they use the phrase base camp, but you have that safe place to return to base camp whenever something happens, a bad day at work or a client yells at you or whatever, right? Or you just fell down on your butt on the ice and you're like, oh my God, help me up. This hurts so bad, you know. You get somebody to ice pack your bum. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, you have that place. And so you need that deep connection because all of that stuff is intimate. And not to be graphic, but, you know, if you know, we always think of the women, of course, typically women are the ones that have the long hair, but, you know, somebody to hold your hair back when you're sick.
Right? Yeah, exactly. I mean,
that is very intimate as well. And so you have to have all of those pieces, as well as the rip your clothes off as sex, right, as well as the gentle lovemaking. You need all of those pieces in place. I say need, but all of the pieces that make sense that fit into your relationship. That's what works for the two of you, and that is what it's all about.
Hmm. Yeah, and I'm not afraid to say this as a man. You know, I'm some of the best foreplay that Janelle and I have ever had are just long, deep conversations that don't lead to the physical sex at all. Mm-hmm. We have these great, stimulating conversations that go to where you're finally going, oh my God, it's like 3 o'clock in the morning. We got to get in bed. type of conversations. And that's intimacy. That's great lovemaking to me.
Well, I know for me, when I'm working with gay men who are like, I'm really struggling in a relationship, or I can't seem to find the right relationship, and it always just ends up being more sexual than anything, I ask them, so how do you define intimacy? Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how much they trip up on that. They can define sex really easy, but they can't seem to define intimacy. In fact, I was talking to a guy the other day who says, I'm so much want to be with someone else right now, not because I don't love my partner, but there's no intimacy. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, what does that look like for you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what we just heard was exactly what I got. That silence.
Yeah.
Because he didn't know how to define that. And I think Janelle may have said this earlier. There's things you need. And again, you're like me, I hate the word need, but sometimes you just have to use it. But if you don't define certain things, if you don't define what intimacy, if you don't define what sex is, if you don't define what, you know, being monogamous is, and if you don't define what being open is, and what conversation and communication means to you, then you don't have anything to go land on.
Yeah.
And I think it's so important to know how to go land on things in your relationship, not just in the bedroom on top of one another. You need to know how to land on things very cleanly and very bravely and vulnerably at times, you know.
And you know what? When you do that, when you get so connected with yourself that you know what your wants, desires, expectations are, then you'd be able to have that communication with your partner and find out what his or hers are. And then guess what? You have just reached into the spiritual aspect of yourself and of your relationship.
Yeah. Awesome. Anything you want to add to that, Rob?
No, I think you guys hit it well on the head there. I mean, it's about finding what works for you, finding the love that you need. And like you said, a lot of it starts from, what do I want? What do I consider intimate? What do I consider sex? What, you know, and having those conversations with yourself as well as your partner later on.
And one thing I want to add really quickly there too is sometimes one partner's feeling frisky and he or she wants to have some kind of activity, right? They're like, I just need to get off.
Yep.
So, and the other partner's like, of course, I can't say that about Rob because he's Mr. Frisky. He's always ready to go. But I mean, always. I don't think he's ever turned me down in 14 years, ever. But, you know, that does happen. So here's what we tell people. And I do this for Rob when he's feeling that frisky. And I'm like, oh, really? I'm not today. So be with that person. Either pleasure them or at least be with them, touch them, be in their presence while they pleasure themselves. Mm-hmm. And so guess what? We believe that is still lovemaking.
No, I agree. I agree 100%. And I think this is why it's so important to define what that is. I mean, if lovemaking for a person is like the wham, bam, thank you, then you need to be clear about that's what you see. Mm-hmm. But then you wonder why you may not be in a great relationship because the other person, lovemaking is everything from the first words that kind of hint at what's going on, and then the little coy playfulness that comes along, and then the long, you know, intimate makeout sessions or just the touching, simple touching, and then man, an hour and a half later, you're finally getting to the other stuff, and maybe you don't have an orgasm. Maybe that's what it was all about. But if you don't define this clearly, And, you know, sometimes I wonder if this isn't one of the biggest problems with so many couples not making it work is they don't define a lot of stuff clearly.
Oh, yeah.
Before
yeah.
they get into relationship.
You know why? Because they think there's a norm that they're supposed to do and they're supposed to have it happen this way. And they fall into that trap. And then, you know, they expect their partner to be thinking the same norms.
Well, and something else we have to always be diligent on is our relationship change. Just as we change as individuals, our relationship change. And I often compare it to a race. I mean, there's no finish line in a relationship. You don't get to a point and it's just great and that's perfect. We made it. Yay. You know, they put a medal around my neck and I've won. Because as soon as you, you know, every step you take, something changes and it just keeps going on and on and on. And that's the beautiful part about relationships is that they do change and that we do get to fall in love with each other over again. And it, when you stop seeing those changes, when you get bored and, you know, you stop caring about your partner, and that's when that, you know, that tension starts to build in and you start to lose sight of who each other are and you don't know that person. That's when you turn around 5 years later and you don't even know each other again. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what are we doing?
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, I can't believe that we are already to the end of this segment because it's been exactly what I wanted it to be and even more. I mean, I think just having some straight, and I hate that word too, but you know, heterosexual allies out there to hear them talk about this. And then listeners, if you really break this down and hear the things that have been said, it has nothing to do with sexual orientation. It has everything to do with us being humans. There isn't one thing that you could say, oh, that's a gay thing, or that's a heterosexual thing, or that's a transgender thing. I mean, it's just, it's so beautiful that you guys have been able to communicate in a really beautiful way how similar we are in our sexual energy and our sexual orientations. So now I know there's two of you, so I'm going to give you guys the bonus because you're each going to get to answer this separately. Okay. This is the Coming Out Lounge. And I think one of the things that happens most for those going through the closet doors and then coming through the other side is there's so much going on as they go through this. And when they don't realize that it's going to keep going on even after the closet door is open and you've gone through. From a purely learning how to be with yourself, being in your sexual energy, moving forward, I would love each of you to give my listeners a piece of advice about how they can just be really in themselves and their sexual energy on the other side of that closet door.
Mm-hmm. You know, wow, that's such a big, it is a big, deep question, right?
Yeah, it is. It is. But just one thing would just, you know, one thing would be awesome if you could think of one thing you'd like to say.
One, and this is something that we do fall back on a lot, but it made a big difference in our relationship. But letting go of the need to be right, which is much easier said than done. But letting go of the need to be right, so that doesn't mean just with your partner or with society. It just means in general. You don't have to be right. Just know that you have your own perspective. It comes through your lens, and everyone else has their own perspective, and it comes through their lens. Sometimes it can be hurtful, other times it can be helpful, but to let go of, well, this is the way it is, period, no questions asked. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, then every aspect of your relationship can change. Every aspect of your own self can be open to new possibilities, new ideas. Amazing opportunities can show up that you never would have been able to see otherwise.
Well, and for me, one thing, and this is kind of my tagline now, is, you know, you got to get out there and make love to life. You've got to enjoy what you enjoy. Life is way too short to be caught up in what everybody else thinks or what the normal is. But if you get out there and make love to life and make it your own and just have a great time, things are going to be better. Yes, we're all going to have issues. We're all going to have problems. But if you can fall back on that formula and just say, I'm going to make love to life today when you get up, the world's going to be a better place.
Okay, you just like did an Oprah moment there right at the very end. It's like, okay, Rob's got the line and it's awesome. I love that. And to what you said, Janelle, too, it's funny how so similar everything is. When you said just let go of the need to be right and it's something that needs to happen in society, it's one of the first things I always say to someone I'm getting ready to work with. I say, one of the first things I want you to start to do, I know you're not anywhere near coming out of the closet door. And I know you're not quite ready to step into it. And you're still trying to figure things out. But let me give you one piece of advice. Start letting go now. Because mm-hmm. the more you can let go now, the easier it's going to be to let go of that closet door handle when you're on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think this is what drives us. And this is what we fear. We're always looking to other people to make things valid and right for us. And it really dovetails nicely with what Rob said mm-hmm. about then you're able to make love to life by letting go. So, and with that, I think we have a pretty dang good episode of the Coming Out Lounge. And I so appreciate you both. I love the work you do. Tell them real quickly some of the things you guys do. I know you do this date night. What's your podcast? It's the Mission Date Night, right?
Mission Date Night.
Awesome.
We definitely play the James Bond kind of, and I always say it's like James Bond yeah. meets uh-huh. Austin Powers,
yeah,
right?
So yeah.
It's very sexy, but we are very humorous people and we want to be playful and laugh. And so we have sexy challenges, which are really cool experiences for lovers to help them really, you know, it gives them those effortless ideas. So
awesome.
We have a new book, actually. We have one out there. We've got one big compilation of like 50 in that.
Yes.
We've got a new one I'm getting ready to come out, hopefully before Valentine's Day. And then we have our Mission Date Night Adventures, which are a newer thing. Rob's the big brainchild there behind those, the mastermind.
Well, you know, if you're ever stuck going, you know, you've got time to go on a date night and you're like, I don't know, what do you want to do? I don't know, what do you want to do? That's where the Mission Date Night Adventures come in, because we give you stuff to do. It's like this free-for-all scavenger hunt, you know, go complete these missions. And so you're not just sitting around for 2 hours going, I don't know, what do you want to do?
Awesome. Or just same dinner, yeah.
yeah.
So
yeah.
lots of fun. Those can be very simple, or you could dress up and, you know, really get into the spy mode. So it yeah. all depends on the couple.
I love it. Love it, love it, love it. And listeners, there'll be plenty of information how to get in contact with Janelle and Rob on the show page for the podcast and books that they have. All that sort of stuff will be available. Thank you, thank you, thank you, my fellow Coloradoans. I appreciate you being on the show today. You were a delight. And I'm quite sure that everyone will walk away with stuff. And if you've really enjoyed hearing what Janelle and Rob have shared with us today, we would really love it if you could hop over to iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, wherever you've got those iPod headphones plugged into. We'd love to have you give us a little bit of love if that's what you feel like doing. And also, you can always find me on Facebook at The Coming Out Coach. And of course, we've really love to hear you tweet some stuff about the show and what's going on there. So you can always do that at Rick Clemens. And gosh, I guess with that, I'm going to say thanks again, Rob and Janelle, for being here.
Oh, thank you.
The pleasure
so
was ours.
Much.
Yeah.
Awesome. And with that, we're going to say it's time to go. And I want you to go out there and never stop stepping out, stepping up, and stepping in to living your powerful truth. I'm Rick Clemens, the host of the Coming Out Lounge, and we'll catch you in just another week.
You've just experienced the Coming Out Lounge. Go online to www.comingoutlounge.com to learn more. And tune in again next week for more stories and tips for being true to yourself.